ladies and gentlemen. This is DJ Shy John here with the weekly news in review. All right, I'm going to start the news this morning with an article from paulcraigroberts.org, Institute for Political Economy. This article is called More Phony Employment Numbers. Statistician John Williams, shadowstats.com, calls the government's latest jobs and unemployment reports nonsense numbers. There are a number of ongoing problems with the related numbers. For example, the concurrent seasonal factor adjustments are unstable. The birth-death model adds non-existent jobs each month that are then taken out in the annual downward benchmark revisions. Williams calculates that the job overstatement through November averages 45,000 monthly. In other words, employment gains during 2012 have been overstated by about 500,000 jobs. Another problem is that each month's job number is boosted by downside revision of the previous month's job number. Williams reports that the 146,000 new jobs reported for November was after a significant downside revision to October's reporting. Net of prior related revisions, November's seasonally adjusted monthly gain was 97,000. Even if we believe the government that 146,000 new jobs materialized during November, that is the amount necessary to stay even with population growth, and therefore could not be responsible for reducing the unemployment rate from 7.9% to 7.7%. The reduction is due to how the unemployed are counted. The 7.7 rate is known as the headline rate. It is the rate you hear in the news. Its official designation is U3. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has another official unemployment rate known as U6. The difference is that U3 does not include discouraged workers who are not currently actively seeking a job. A discouraged worker is a person who has given up looking for a job because there are no jobs to be found. The U6 measure includes workers who have been discouraged for less than 1 year. The U6 rate of unemployment is 14.4%, about double the headline rate. The U6 rate does not include long-term discouraged workers, those who have been discouraged for more than 1 year. John Williams estimates this rate and reports the actual rate of unemployment, known as SGS, in November to be 22.9%. In other words, the headline rate of unemployment is one-third the actual rate. The drop in the November headline rate of unemployment from 7.9 to 7.7 is due to a 20.4% increase in the number of short-term discouraged workers in November. In other words, unemployed people rolled out the U3 measure into the U6 measure. Similarly, a number of short-term discouraged workers roll out of the U6 measure into John Williams' measure that include all of the unemployed. Williams reports that with the continual rollover, the flow of headline workers continues into the short-term discouraged workers, U6, and from U6 into long-term discouraged worker status, a shadowstats.com measure, at what has been an accelerating pace. The aggregate November data show an increasing rate of individuals dropping out of the headline U3 labor force. In other words, the headline rate of unemployment can drop even though the unemployed are having a harder time finding jobs. The U.S. government simply lowers the unemployment rate not by counting all of the unemployed. The U.S. government simply lowers the unemployment rate by not counting all of the unemployed. We owe this innovation to the Clinton administration. In 1994, the Clinton administration redefined discouraged workers and limited this group to those who are discouraged for less than 1 year. Those discouraged for more than 1 year are no longer considered to be in the labor force and cease to be counted as unemployed. If the U.S. government will mislead the public about unemployment, it will also mislead about Syria, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Somalia, Pakistan, Yemen, Lebanon, Palestine, Russia, China, and 9/11. The government fits its story to its agenda. A government that wants to cut the social safety net doesn't want you to know that the unemployment rate is 22.9%. A government that wants to cut the social safety net when between one-fifth and one-fourth of the workforce is out of work looks hard-hearted, mean-spirited, and foolish. But if the government reports only one-third of the unemployed and presents that rate as falling, then the government can present its cuts as prudent to avoid falling over a fiscal cliff. In quotes, if the free and democratic Americans cannot even find out what the unemployment rate is, how do they expect to find out about anything? On to the next short piece here. This is from www.politico.com. And in Politico, we have a quote from Clinton, "The drug war hasn't worked," by Kevin Cirilli. Former President Bill Clinton says in a new documentary that his administration's attempts to limit drug trafficking from Colombia hasn't worked. Clinton joined other world leaders, including former President Jimmy Carter, in filmmaker Sam Branson's new documentary, Breaking the Taboo, which premiered Thursday at New York's Google headquarters and charges that the global war on drugs is a failure. "What I tried to do was to focus on every aspect of the problem. I tried to empower the Colombians, for example, to do more military and police-wise because I thought that's what they had to do. 30% of their country was in the hands of the narco traffickers," Clinton says in the film, which is available free online. In the film, narrator Morgan Freeman says, "The U.S. spent billions of dollars funding military operations in Colombia to cut off cocaine coming into America." Clinton later says, "Well, obviously, if the expected results was that we could eliminate serious drug use in America and eliminating the narco-trafficking networks, it hasn't worked." The documentary was made before Washington and Colorado voted to legalize recreational marijuana, but its release comes as U.S. officials, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, remain critical of its legislation. "The Office of Drug Control Policy declined to appear in the film," Clinton said in November at a foreign policy forum in Washington, that she was not convinced that legalizing marijuana would end violence related to drug trade. Carter says he faced similar drug war problems as President Barack Obama and criticizes former President Ronald Reagan. "When I was president, we had the same problems with drug production and distribution and consumption that we presently face. We tried as best as we could to minimize the emphasis on our criminal punishment, and I made a major statement to the Congress asking for changes in the law." He continued, "President Reagan and his wife Nancy adopted the drug program as the number one issue for her to proclaim. She had a phrase, 'Just say no.'" Carter says in the film, "She made it clear that her prohibition against drugs included marijuana and everything else. So I don't think that there's any doubt that President Reagan made a profound impact on the consciousness of our country. And I think that he also shaped the opinion of many members of our Congress." Okay, now at long last, I bring you the Harper's Weekly Review. This from December 11, 2012. Typhoon Bofa struck the southern Philippines, causing flash floods and landslides that killed at least 700 people and displaced more than 5 million. Speaking in the United Nations COP18 Climate Change Conference in Doha, Filipino diplomat Nadarev Sanyo broke down in tears as he called on delegates to extend the Kyoto Protocol and assist developing nations affected by rising greenhouse gas emissions. "I ask all of us here," said Sanyo, "if not us, then who? If not now, then when? If not here, then where?" On Saturday, the delegates agreed to extend the protocol until 2012, but put off until next year the dispute over aid to affected nations. following protests in Cairo that left at least 7 people dead and 700 injured. Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi called for comprehensive and productive dialogue, but declined to postpone a controversial constitutional referendum scheduled for December 15th, granted sweeping arrest powers to the military, but stated that these powers were meant only for the protection of polling stations, and rescinded most of a recent presidential decree giving him near unlimited power, but retained the right to make decrees without oversight. "I'm really confused," said an Egyptian doctor, "by all of the politics in the country." In Afghanistan, a member of the U.S. Navy SEAL Team 6 was killed during the successful rescue of a kidnapped American, and a man who attempted to assassinate Afghanistan's chief of intelligence was found to have concealed explosives in his groin. "This is not Taliban work," said Afghan President Hamid Karzai. "There are bigger and professional hands involved." Hamas turned 25. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad reportedly crossed his legs in retaliation against the crossed legs of the Swedish ambassador. The average sperm count of Frenchmen was found to have fallen by a third between 1989 and 2005, and a man in Long Island, New York, shot his girlfriend following an argument over the likelihood of a zombie apocalypse. He felt very adamant there could be a military mishap that would result in some sort of virus being released, explained a detective. She felt it was ridiculous. Star Wars fans appealed to the Obama administration to build a Death Star. "By focusing our defense resources into a space superiority platform," their petition read, "the government can spur job creation." The U.S. unemployment rate fell to 7.7%, maybe the lowest mark in 4 years, and the U.S. Senate failed to ratify the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. "I have justifiable doubts that a foreign UN body operating out of Geneva, Switzerland, could decide what is in the best interest of the child," said Senator Mike Lee, Republican, Utah. "It just says that you can't discriminate against the disabled," said Senator John Kerry, Democrat, Massachusetts. Greece was found to be the European nation's most corrupt country. And a Greek soccer league reportedly informed owner Sula Alvaridou, a former prostitute who rescued her club from bankruptcy, that her team's equipment couldn't bear the names of her luxury brothels, Via Erotica and House of the Era. A 125-mile-long traffic jam brought travel between St. Petersburg and Moscow to a 3-day standstill. A Chinese construction firm announced plans to flatten 700 mountains in order to erect a new city in Gansu province, and an 18th-century chateau in the French town of Yvrac en Gironde was found to have been razed in error. Swedish artist Carl Mitchell von Hauswolf exhibited a painting made using ashes from a Nazi death camp crematorium in Poland. When von Hauswolf's work isn't muddled by naivete, an art critic wrote of the show, he offers exciting and alternative strategies to deal with and remember the horrors of the past. It was reported that the world's oldest person had died at 116, and that the world's tallest woman had died at 7'8". A nurse at the London hospital where the Duchess of Cambridge, Kate Middleton, was being treated for severe morning sickness, committed suicide 2 days after being duped by a prank call from an Australian radio DJ who claimed to be the Queen of England. The antivirus software developer John McAfee was arrested in Guatemala, where he'd fled to avoid police questioning about a murder in Belize. "Vastly superior to Belize jails," he wrote. "The coffee is also excellent." Vatican officials created a Twitter account for Pope Benedict XVI with the handle @XPontifex. "He won't follow anyone for now," said an advisor. "He will be followed." New Zealand dogs were being taught to drive. Darwin, a rhesus macaw wearing a diaper and a shearling coat, was apprehended at a Toronto IKEA. 832F, a female wolf known as the rock star of Yellowstone National Park, was shot and killed by hunters. And Bolin Betty, a rare hen harrier, was shot and killed on the Thornygrain Moor in Yorkshire, England. Google gave the World Wildlife Fund $5 million to expand a drone conservation program aimed at tracking elephant, rhinoceros, and tiger poachers. And the wives of Thai mahouts were picking coffee cherries from the dung of their husbands' elephants to be processed into beans and sold for $500 a pound. "There's definitely something wild about it," said one man after trying a cup, "that I can't put a name on." Not while the FCC is listening. This article by Jess Cotton. All right. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, we've reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News. Thanks to the whole Kill Radio News team. All of you out there, have a great week. And like I always say, stay out of the news.